Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 180, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday. It is April 16th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Pfizer. Got the Pfizer. It's a really cool and safe vaccine. Oh, shit. With the Pfizer, does this mean I can't still quarantine? That is courtesy of Ensign Jensen. Got the Pfizer, got that vax, the number one pumping through my veins. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Eat spice, come hard, Miles Gray, do it well. Eat spice, come hard, Miles Gray, do it well. The cum stains my shirt when I'm playing with my pee-pee. The cum stains my hurt. Okay, anyway, that one's from at Autumn Greenleaf. That's a reference to my appearance on Behind the Bastards, where we talked about the wonderful Dr. Kellogg, who notoriously did not want people to masturbate to the point of genital mutilation and hated spice, hated flavorful food.
It's so not that he didn't want them to masturbate so much that they mutilated their genitals. He mutilated people's genitals to avoid masturbating even once.
Yes, exactly.
And also
he himself was a virgin
who
never came and never ate spicy food. So on the show, I was saying the way we have to fight back against Dr. Kellogg is to eat spice and just come hard.
Come hard. Eat spice, come hard.
You know? Anyway, shout out to that great MIA video as well.
Yeah. I love that song.
The actual The Bad Girls one. The Eat Spice, Come Hard one.
Yeah. No, I got you. We are thrilled. We're lucky, fortunate to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the hilarious, the talented Brian Husky.
Oh, you are welcome. You are welcome
to me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm trying to picture what kind of genital mutilation you would do to create a preventative masturbation program. Like, were there nails embedded in the penis?
I mean, there were devices. There were just things like, you know, just traditional female genital mutilation, like to try and, you know, remove any source of pleasure.
Oh, wow. Right.
Touching the genitals to that point, because it's just like really lame logic of like, well, when we go to these sanitariums, these people, these disturbed people, they all masturbate. So based on that logic, masturbating is a sign of all kinds of dysfunction.
A plus B equals Z, right?
Exactly.
Other letters don't matter.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Couldn't be anything to do with boredom.
Well, I agree with him. I think that that is really the cause of a lot of societal problems, is the fact that we're not keeping our essence inside of ourselves.
Right, exactly. We're losing our connection to God.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, Miles Davis got it. Dr. Strangelove got it. There are all these.
I mean, if that reverse logic worked, like, spicy food would probably be way more popular, right? Than it is? Is that a thing that has ever been posited by anyone besides Kellogg? Clark Kellogg? What's his name?
John Harvey Keitel.
Like, do people? So he was like, spiciness makes you hornier. Is that a thing that has like gone down?
No, it was more that like it'll just like bother you, because if it's too it's the stimulation that's
right.
too much.
Right.
So overly, if you're just overly stimulated, then now you're in a state of chaos. So just keep it nice and level with the gruel.
Yeah.
Well, that's why during the summer, like people get, you get hot and you get bothered.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, right.
And
right,
the bothered right. part is the need to ejaculate.
Right.
Or to orgasm. So, yeah.
That's anytime someone says that, that's what they're referring to.
Yeah, and he supported air conditioning around that. He was like, please, if we can get something to lower the temperature in the room, so because I can't see everybody just yanking on themselves anymore.
Do something about the weather.
Wait, is this Kellogg the cereal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
And his brother is the one who sort of was the face of the cereal. Was to kind of be like, hey, look, I get my other brother is sort of a popular doctor still, like where many people went to that, you know, that sanitarium he had.
Yeah.
Or well, what did he call it? A wellness, whatever the fuck they call it.
A wellness vault?
Yeah. The Road to Wellville, as depicted.
Yeah, Wellville,
in that film.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
But yeah, like it's just, anyway, check it. The episode was fully disturbing. And
like
now,
months long baths was a thing that I hadn't heard of until that episode. That
well, yeah, to stay in water.
In water.
Yeah. Look, you know, when God comes into your brain, figuratively, and says, look, I'm giving you the power and knowledge to save our people. You get these mm-hmm. ideas like this.
Right. And there's Seventh Day Adventists, the strong
ben
and wrong.
Carson. Also, Ben
yeah.
strong and wrong.
I'd say anyone who's starting a new country, don't base this on Puritan values. I think that's the big takeaway.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It just sets everybody off on the wrong foot from the get go.
But that's such a strange origin story that, like, Kellogg's cereal started from an ethos of things shouldn't taste like anything. They should
yeah, or you're gonna lose it masturbating and become a criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's what, I mean, it does have a cock on the front of the
right, exactly.
It's one of the few foods that has cock.
In very unnatural colors, I might add.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the lack of stimulation. I don't know. Looks like a sick cock to me.
I know. What was the discussion around the company? It was like, we'd like to add a little bit of sugar to the cereal. He's like, what?
Yeah.
No. People were getting impregnated. No.
All right, Brian, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we'll tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Chauvin defense, and just, yeah, so some interesting arguments being presented by them, like physics-defying arguments, it seems. But, you know, they're just going, doing what they can to cast doubt on what literally everyone saw from multiple angles. We're going to talk about the possibility of reparations, this House bill that was introduced.
Only the possibility, though.
Yes. Just
we'll get into, you know,
the very mention.
The thing called the Republicans.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
TBD.
We'll talk about whether police should be armed. We'll talk about how the right is reacting to the Johnson & Johnson pause. All of that. Plenty more. Mm-hmm. But first, Brian. We like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Get ready to be titillated and excited because for my search history, and this, I'm just going to go through the very last search.
Yeah, do
Michael's online coupon.
Okay.
Oh, if you're you wild, need, man. Yeah, if you need to find 11 by 17 frame for a flyer for your band that you had in college, and you don't want to spend too much money, you go to Michael's. And nice. Then you realize, how can this company survive based on their massive amount of discounts? Because you already are getting 50% right. off, and then you find another coupon for 30% off. So then you're buying these frames for like $4.
Right. Wait, and they let you stack coupons at Michael's?
I talked to somebody who was checking out. I was like, how do you guys stay afloat? And she's just like, we're kind of like a dollar store. You guys just buy not great stuff and make it seem like you're just
there's lead in everything here.
Yeah, everything.
It's like, that's why we wear these arc welding masks when we're just ringing stuff up.
Yeah.
China gives us the stuff that they can't sell to.
That's unsafe for their people.
Yeah. That styrofoam decorative ball that you're going to turn into a Christmas ornament is just packed together anthrax. So,
If that cracks even the slightest, evacuate your home and open all the windows.
The whole call the CDC because it's the next wave.
Has anyone ever gone to a Bed Bath & Beyond or Michael's without a coupon? Like, I feel like those are places that you
fucking Warren Buffett?
I know. When you make a big deal, it's like, paying full price over here. Don't give a shit.
Look at
20%
me.
Off what?
There you go.
Come on now.
You keep that 20% for yourself, sweetheart.
Yeah, buy yourself something nice. Because I like, thank you, though. I love the Yankee Candle Woodwick collection. Yeah.
Get yourself a candle that'll probably cause nasal damage if you smell it. Go ahead.
I remember during Christmas, though, because I get on a bit of a scented candle kick during the holidays because I want my house to smell like a Karen nightmare of just like, whee! Yeah. Because I grew up with like anti-Christmas house, so the pendulum has just swung the other way in my adulthood, like making up for the lack of American Christmas sense. And every day, Bed Bath & Beyond be like, hey, man, you want like 25% off if you just pick it up right now? Like, at a certain point, it was almost foolish to go there and not use a coupon because they were almost begging you to be like, come on, man, just use this fucking coupon.
Oh,
please.
Yeah.
Right.
What else we got to do?
Yeah, it's all contraband. It's all from like pirate ships. You know, they're just like these freight liners that they hijack and then they sell through Michael's.
Yeah. That's funny that they like treat their candle consumers like addicts. Like they're just we've got another one. He's tilting.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. When you walk in, they usually have like, you know, flats of them right by the door. And it is a gauntlet of fragrance that you must survive to get through. And my daughter and I would always do a thing. I was like, do you want to do the candle sniff? And we would like test each one.
Mm.
And it's just a weird, it's just some far end of like the fragrance scale of just like, they're not real. You know, they're not real. And they're an approximation of like the ocean. But really, this is probably like.
The ocean smells like that, it's because like someone threw a bunch of Tide Pods away at the same time.
Completely. Yeah. We couldn't sell Chemical Fire as a candle, but we'll call it Sea Breeze.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just kind of only a little bit of my nose hairs.
Yeah. Completely.
Low tide. That would be one that probably wouldn't sell very well.
Oh.
Exxon Valdez. The ocean smells like complete shit.
LA River, low tide in May.
Mm-hmm. Just drove over the LA River.
Body in low tide.
What is something you think is overrated, Brian?
This is going to be a weird one, but I'd say like news coverage of what's been going on lately, especially around in Minneapolis. It feels like it's overrated in that it's underrated. I feel like they've done a poor job of sort of really like focusing on like, no, this is a serious situation. Again, I feel like we're back to this point where they're kind of like, and there's a situation going on, but don't worry because we're in a different time now and it's not cause for concern. This is
it's
not
2021.
The thing. Yeah, it's 2021. So we're not going to sort of stoke the fear. We're going to find something else to stoke the fear about. So I don't know. I guess overrated is sort of like, this sounds like I'm saying fake media, but or fake news, but it's not that. It's just like, it's like,
I mean,
it's,
yeah, disingenuous media.
Yeah.
Corporate media that has absolutely inequipped to actually report what is happening.
Anyway. Yeah. Unbiased reporting is becoming both overrated and underserved.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's my sort of stumbling through a thought.
No, but even like then, it's just, it's true. I mean, I think it's also just exhausting to think like, fuck, like we can't even fucking count on these news to even do what it's supposed to, because it's just clearly it's become this other form of journalism that isn't what I think we need journalism to be, which is just this very straightforward accounting without being uncomfortable. I think because a lot of the, I think the issue is now we've turned things like white supremacy and racism into like opinion type things.
Right.
We can't objectively just say this is racism. This is systemic white supremacy showing its face again, as we've seen many times over the course of this country's history.
Yeah.
Rather than like, huh, it's. I don't. Yeah. What do we say? Like, I guess we'll just debate taser colors for.
There's a thing that.
Yeah.
maybe they should be purple, like a fun, like pink.
Make it a fun pink violation of your human rights. Just
just make it pop a little bit.
There's a thing that happens that's been annoying me since the summer, where the media will approach, you know, somebody who's protesting or demonstrating or organizing, and ask them to like speak at length about the thing like that they've just been saying over and over again, that like it's like putting an onus on them to like provide something that I don't know. And then the media just cuts back to like a wide shot of like an angry crowd. They love to, you know, scare people with an angry mob. But it's just, it's not complicated what's being said, but the media is like, and what's going on, like what it, can you tell us what you feel? And it's just like,
it took what, 3.5 years basically for them to start to kind of identify Trump's actions as like, this is authoritarian procedure, this is authoritarian structuring, this is finding the holes in our democracy and exploiting them, which is this authoritarian approach to dismantling existing democracy. And but up to that point, it was this kind of like, he has an unusual approach to our democracy. There's such an inherent need to protect the system, you know, to protect the idea of the systemic racism exists within a system that we don't want to admit or identify is varnished with its own sin and its own, you know, dysfunction. We still have to be like, no, I mean, our buildings are marble and white for a reason, because it's hard to, you know, they don't stain. But it's like, no, blood sticks to that stuff, too. It's, I don't know. No, I'm working on a ongoing poem. Clearly, this is just a spoken word piece that I'm just going to
alabaster, white walls, alabaster. Still can't hide the transgressions of generations past.
The human chain is also one of bondage, not linking us together.
I mean, that's probably where the news would go to avoid being a little bit more clear-eyed about things. Like, and here's a spoken word poem to kind of... Like, just have do things at the top of the hour to say the problem of systemic racism in the United States is ongoing. I mean, it's just like even with COVID, they got tired of that counter for after like fucking 3 months. Like, day, whatever. Because you don't want to actually get people to be like, fuck, this is bad. And I think in the same way, there's just a lack of courage or desire to rock any kind of boat, unfortunately, and this boat is just the laziest analysis on the societal ills of this country.
Well, it's like it's a litigious fear, you know what I mean? Like, they do not want to say anything that will get them in some kind of like libel state, I imagine. I don't know. The argument is like, we can't label something unless there's proof, but we're dealing with like issues that are like, there's videotape proof, as you know, with Chauvin and stuff, but it's like, but even that, even fact, documented fact, does not hold the same
water that it used to, because
well, and it's it's I kind of have like a lot of revelations about the news and like how the news approaches these important subjects by watching ESPN during the day and like hearing them have to be like 18 levels deep on an argument about something that is so fucking simple. And it's just like, but they, that it's like the news is coming from this perspective of like, we have to ignore the fact that you've been telling us what is wrong and telling us what you're angry about for the past 200 years. Like, and that the thing that is frustrating is that we have to keep saying it. And instead, you're just saying, keep saying it. Could you keep saying that into this microphone? While, like, what put that into perspective.
What's happened? What's gone on here?
What are you feeling?
Yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah. I am only now just noticing it.
Right.
Give us your, they just said racism. Let's cut back to the studio where we can just have a nebulous crowd shot of angry brown faces.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just leave, and then that be the discourse.
Yeah.
Because it's, that's, but I mean, I think until like more people in the media can actually have a reckoning with their place in upholding this system of oppression too, through their reporting, there's not going to be much of a change. And I think people are going to have to become more and more discerning and cynical in terms of like, who is telling them what about what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's sort of, you have to take the information you're getting at a very sort of like, here's the broad stroke information that you know what the nuance probably is, you know, hopefully you do, but they're not going to give it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, and I've heard other people say, oh yeah, I get my perspective on what's going on here in the US from The Guardian UK or, you know, some other European news sources, because they can
a different
be like,
white supremacist country.
Yeah. What is their perspective on our white supremacy?
I mean, it's certainly a better form, because it's just like, even during the Bush years too, was when I was first like realizing, I was like, oh shit, I can't find news about anything to do with Iraq from like the US media. Like I have to read the BBC or Al Jazeera or something like that, because I'm getting like the Raytheon Power Hour from like these other outlets. And I'm like, this is so fucking vague and like not even remotely giving like a critical eye or examination of what's happening.
Yeah.
The only thing they do convey, and this is what was so brilliant about the Daily Show, is just, or currently, is like, it's like, we will shovel up the gravitas and the indication that we know that this is an issue and that we really feel that this is an issue and we're angry about it too, but we can't quite express that opinion. Like, that's as far as they will do. They will go through the kind of like, and it's pretty condescending. Like, I, you know, when somebody kind of meets you with like,
yes,
I hear you. And right. You just want to fucking punch them in the face, because you're like, no, don't hear me. Like, be here with me. No.
That's too active.
Yeah.
I hear you. I'm here for the passive part. Just to hear, oh my God, really?
Oh. I will check this off my list so I can sleep at night. I was outraged for a moment.
Oh, you should have seen me last week, Bill. I was at this party and this brown guy said something and I was like, oh God, I hear you. So, you know, I've done my part in this fight. You know what I mean? So where's that caddy of ours? Pretty slow today. It's like, what the fuck?
Brian, what's something you think is underrated?
This is going to sound way cheesy, but I think it's based on a bunch of encounters I've had lately. It's like, I cannot emphasize empathy and compassion right now, because we're like, we're all fucking at the end of this tunnel, and we can either bottleneck ourselves up at it and just like, I could easily see everyone just like almost crossing the finish line with the vaccine and stuff. And then, but just killing each other before we get there. And just forgetting that we've all gotten this far. And it would be just insane if we just like lose sight of like, we all want to end this thing. So let's just kind of recognize that each other and do our part. And this is based on this douche that goes up and down my steps without a mask on. And
Jesus Christ.
And said to me, good luck staying alive out there. And
really?
Like, yeah. I've asked him a few times. He's got some problems. I can tell. You can tell he's just the way he sits on the steps. He sits with this wide legged man spread thing.
And he's like, an infection in the neighborhood.
Yeah. That he's like, look at this unmasturbated dick that I've got. Kellogg would be so proud of me.
I'm eating wet cardboard for dinner tonight.
I'm eating tasteless glop. But yeah, I was just like, everything I had was just like, I fantasized pushing him down the steps. I sort of half-assed yelled at him, and my kid was with me, so I was like, kind of swallowed it. So it ended up being like, you're an asshole. just did not land. Oh, did not stick it.
That would be in your kid's memoir.
Yeah, totally.
I remember that day.
My dad sort of stood up to someone, maybe not.
There was a, I felt like going to the, like I got my first dose of the vaccine this morning in a parking garage. And it was like, they you know, they had the stanchions, you had to like walk around the ropes and everything. But there's just like a sense of, I don't know. I feel like that's a good remedy to any, you know, sort of antisocial like feelings or anybody who's, it's just like a whole mass of people who are there to like help solve a social problem and goodwill. We sat there in like waiting our 15 minutes and did not have the negative vibes of like a DMV. It looks exactly like a DMV where everybody's seated in chairs, like all facing the same direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like everybody was just very happy to be there and happy to see people are dressed up. This is by far the most dressed up I've been in because I'm not wearing sweatpants.
Right. I was going to say, like, you're wearing a suit jacket, but you just tore the sleeve off when they're like, all right, which arm do you want? And you're like, break it.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just. Okay, whatever. You clearly had an eye, and you clearly envisioned this day in your very specific way.
But like leaving my house is such a treat for me now. I'm just like, wow, there is an outside world with people I don't know.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
No.
All right, so we're still hanging here, waiting until Brian's ready to take a break.
Are you ready now for a break?
All right, take a break now.
All right, good.
Okay. We're going to take that break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And so the prosecution in the Derek Chauvin case has rested. And now it's time for the defense to pull out all the stops, explain why what we all saw was not what we all saw. And it's wild. I mean, like some of these expert witnesses, it's just like, I don't know. Like, where... Is this a thing where you will be able to continue to consider yourself like a functional human being after doing this?
I mean, this is the thing for people who are the defense lawyers and experts, for people like Derek Chauvin, you're operating in a different wavelength.
Yeah.
Because you're like, fuck, yeah. All right, let me put the cape on for white supremacy and try and obscure the facts as best as I can and I can go to sleep at night because I'm a goblin. So, and I live on the side of a church and I turn to stone at night. So the whole thing is like their expert witness is so, this guy Fowler is just an absolute fucking clown with the theory. Like, essentially, this guy is almost suggesting, he's like, you know, maybe George Floyd was actually dead before the police arrived.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever considered that?
Like, these are the kinds of swings he's taking. And the whole thing isn't even like a clear theory that he has. It's just to be like, well, it could have been, I don't know, could have been that, could have been that, you know, could have been white supremacy doesn't exist. I don't know, guys, what am I doing up here? So he says first, a few of the theories. Floyd's oxygen intake was impeded by the exhaust pipe of the nearby police car.
Uh-huh.
Where he was being knelt on. Then he also did concede during the cross-examination that he didn't know anything about the car, what kind of exhaust came out, or even if it was running at the time.
Right.
So they were like, Tesla. Okay.
He had no idea.
He's like, all right, how's this? New angle. How about this one? Perhaps a tumor found in Floyd's lower abdomen could have contributed to a sudden surge of adrenaline that led to, quote, sudden cardiac arrhythmia. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like arguing with the person who's just trying to argue like you don't know. It's a lot like arguing with a conspiracy theorist or like a flat earther who's like, how do you know?
You've been
You've been to space. Have you flown up there and seen the curvature of Earth? Because then.
Well, that's their ploy. Like, they're just leaning into.
How do you know?
Doubt. Yeah. You know, their only thing is like, you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Well, yeah. And doing that, the thing where they give themselves intellectual cover for their racism, which is to be like, well, it couldn't just been that this guy just killed this black guy because he's a racist. It could have been this. It could have been that. Because for me to agree with you that this officer, then I have to actually acknowledge this form of racism on some level, which I'm not willing to do. So I would rather retreat to the safety of these intellectually disingenuous arguments of, for example, the position of Chauvin's knee during the arrest, saying it wasn't necessarily restricting Floyd's breathing. And if it was, there would be evidence of bruising on his body. There was bruising on his body. The prosecutors they showed that evidence.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just like, again, it's just an exhausting exercise in trying to deal with this, you know, expert. And this seems to be his specialty, obscuring black death, because this is another, this from the Daily Beast, quote, though not part of the Chauvin case, Fowler is currently being sued for his expert testimony in another case in Maryland where police killed a black teen. An arrest the teen's parents described as, quote, chillingly similar to George Floyd's, but a death that Fowler similarly testified was, quote, accidental.
Wow.
Cool.
So he's like the special forces white supremacy op, you know, like operative. Let me help. It looks like a clear cut case of this murder.
Yeah, they bring this guy in.
Here's a bunch of mush.
But we have such a long standing relationship in systemic racism with logic and science and the neutrality of using that as a rationalizing and kind of eradicating any kind of like humane perspective on it. It just reduces it down to like, okay, if we're just talking about, if the law is about like, what are the specific facts and we're, and the science behind it's the specific facts, that's all they're going to lean into. And that's all that, and that's going to be their safety point. Because I think the next step that we do in this fucking country is like, but that is what justice is. It's based on truth. It's truth on fact and truth. And so these impassioned, you know, from our perspective, completely logical arguments of like, you have documentation of someone being murdered. You have someone being crushed and slowly choked. They're like, yeah, that's while what we see on the inside. Yeah, while screaming about it. Yeah. They're like, no, but we need to get in to really get under the hood here, because otherwise, if this poor man is wrongly accused, our entire system, you know, would be upended. And
Let's not think of other people have been wrongly accused.
It's constantly this thing of like, the system needs to be protected. The system needs to be sort of like, the fragility of the system is being tested, and we have to kind of uphold it. That's my imagining of what this.
Well, yeah, it's the last line because the system itself is inherently racist.
Yeah.
So to acknowledge it would have to crumble more, in the sense that justice would have to be applied in this context where normally you wouldn't be able to retreat under the cover of law or legalese to sort of explain away what actually happened.
I mean, if you remember my great poem I just did, like these alabaster temples that are stained with blood. Mm-hmm. We just don't want, they're like, oh my God, can you imagine the paperwork involved if we admit we're a racist country? Yeah. No, we can't deal with that.
Paperwork.
Too much, man. It's too
if it's really bad, then yeah. If they don't know how to stick to the script and keep it low, then yeah, sure, we'll do that to create some semblance of justice. But that's not what this whole thing is.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was going on during this whole portion, again, even journalists and people who were observing the trial, they weren't even clear if any of this testimony from these experts was actually helping Chauvin at all. They were more like, I think this is harming him.
Yeah.
Because this stuff is so nonsensical. One of the last things Fowler said was he saw no evidence that Floyd was oxygen deprived because he didn't complain during the arrest of experiencing problems with his vision, which would be indicative that you're being deprived of oxygen. You would be seeing these spots, little spots of light and things like that. And because George Floyd only said, I can't breathe.
Right.
How do we know this? He literally made this argument.
And well, someone's trying to murder you, you also have to treat them as your doctor.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you've slit my throat. My carotid artery has been severed and therefore the blood loss. Like what? The fuck
give me like
about?
A Virginia Woolf style like stream of consciousness of literally everything you're experiencing. Otherwise, yeah. How am I supposed to know? These are the hoops,
all to avoid actually, you know, giving justice to somebody who's been murdered. It's just do all these fucking ridiculous hoops. When before, it's easy enough for a black person to get killed because he looked at somebody. Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And again, the defense is laughable because white supremacy is laughable. You know what I mean? It doesn't hold up to any scrutiny. The idea that because you are white, you are owed things. So when someone has to go up and try and essentially give some kind of, quote, medical counterpoint to what is just a clear hate crime that results in a death, it looks like absolute nonsense. So I hope the jury is equally as disturbed as most people hearing this would be. But
well, there is one jury member who apparently is a Blue Lives Matter supporter. And I think it's a female, and I think she had she had voiced at some point some issues she had with Black Lives Matter. So I don't know how the fuck she got on there, but she's in the mix.
Interestingly enough, because when they were looking for, you know, trying to select the jury pool, they had to fill out surveys and be like, did you hold a sign during the summer? What did it say?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And I wonder if she's like, yeah, I did. It said Blue Lives Matter. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to.
Well, let's throw that in for a little spice.
That's all it takes, you know, unfortunately. And that's why this shit is so frustrating, because black people are having to look time and again into the eye of this demonic system in this country to say, what the fuck?
Right.
We don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So can you tell us why you're protesting though today? Can you like put it in the words?
And that's just the more insidious, because they should just be saying, we don't give a fuck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm here because I have to, we need to appear a certain way, but really we don't give a fuck. And if you want the proof, look at the outcomes. There's no justice for you.
Yeah. Because
we don't give a fuck.
Well, that's that recurrent thing where they're like, I just don't understand why people damage property and lose control. It's just like, for us to not have, not for us, I don't know. It's for people to not have the like, if you were pushed to this point, what the fuck would you do? Like, how would you react? We see how you, like a lot of you people react to having a black kid walk through your neighborhood in South Carolina. You know, you lose all control and, you know, jettison them, short of, you know, murdering them. But it's like, but there's no identification with your, with the other. And that, you know, it is just like, it's so insane. And it's so insane because it is insane. It is a dysfunctional way that we collectively are dealing with trauma, ongoing trauma that we bring to one another over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool.
But all in all, pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool.
Let's talk about this House bill, which, you know, progress that it's getting raised as a possibility. At least we're making the Republicans go on the record and squash it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, just a thing, you know, again, as we're talking, all the ills in this country, especially in regards to racism, we can draw a straight line to slavery and the fact that we have had no reckoning with it. Absolutely none. Just, you know, here's a month.
Yes.
How about that? Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then other than that, it's just crickets. So, you know, for decades, black lawmakers have been trying to advance legislation that would at the very least begin to formally analyze what needs to be done, how we can right these wrongs. And some legislation did just move out of committee to do just that, allowing for the formation of a commission to look at the impacts of slavery discrimination from fucking 1619 to now. And there figure out ways what we need to alter in our educational system. What are the solutions to right all of the racist wrongs in the country, and what kind of compensation should be offered on top of that, considering the just the by design poverty that black people experience. So yeah, a really great moment when we see those things, but you always realize, it got out of committee where then it has to be voted on by these other fucking people in this country. And we already have Jim Jordan saying, spend $20 million for a commission. There's already, that's already decided to take money from people who were never involved in the evil of slavery and give it to people who were never subject to the evil of slavery.
Uh-huh.
That's what Democrats on the Judiciary Committee committee are doing.
Oh, God.
So that's cool. That's about it. You know, I mean, it'll get out of the House, but then in the Senate, like,
right.
Like what? So again, another moment, too, where I think even for people who are, you know, looking at politics enough, you go, yeah, well, that's a wrap. Or even black people looking at them like, well, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking reparations.
Yeah.
Like, that's the cynicism that we live with, because and it just, I think a lot of people are underrating just how exhausting this is really becoming now. Like on top of everything else, that it's truly, it's like, I don't know how long we can just keep asking nicely.
Right.
You know, and then have just your face spit in.
Right.
Yeah.
And still try and maintain your dignity or humanity throughout that. And so, I don't know what to do. I mean, like, this is until we can solve issues like this of having these Jim Jordans and this minority rule in the country. It's like, how come there's fucking no one's going to get anything there?
I wonder how much effect, you know, there's not immediate effect. Definitely, like with this kind of thing, it is like we're going to have a commission to vote on the possibility of mentioning that it could be yes,
right,
maybe,
right.
But if anything, you know, sort of like on a glacial pace, this in combination with the Chauvin trial in Minneapolis and just this past year with BLM, and even, you know, recently with sort of like standing up for Asian, you know, rights and abuses and stuff. This is like the naive kind of like maybe white liberal hope part of me or something. But it's a little bit like, okay, yeah. I mean, I guess if anything, we just kind of like keep doing it, because if it does get to a point where you're like, oh, well, we tried, we'll just like put it on the back burner for another 20 years.
Yeah.
The next time it's going to be real bad, but it's exhausting. It is. And like you said, how much compromising of your dignity, of anyone's dignity, and of just being traumatized over and over and over again, how much can really you stand?
Yeah. It's I don't know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, glacial pace is like the theme of this thing. And
yeah, totally.
And because of that, generations of people come and go without seeing anything change.
Right.
So I don't, that's the thing, you know, the people of color are technically a minority in this country. So until the tipping point really has to come from other people in this country, because we all know what the fucking stakes are. People in proximity to us who are allies know what the fucking stakes are, but it's this whole other section of the country that has no interest in looking at this in any other way except their own denial to maintain comfort.
Yeah.
And to just avoid thinking that anything could be wrong in this country as well, and to just excuse their own ignorance.
And it's not just the Republicans either. I mean, I'm still can't get past Biden in the aftermath of, you know, the first night of demonstrations in Minneapolis, saying that, like, we're waiting to see on, like, the initial murder of an unarmed, very young man. But there's no excuse. The one thing that I can, like, say is automatically wrong is looting is just frustrating.
Well,
and
because
so...
that's how he has to still wag a finger at black people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it is. He can't, or else he's a race traitor.
Right.
And subconsciously, he's not willing to be a race traitor and say, that is absolutely wrong. This person needs to go to jail immediately. That what we saw was an absolute hate crime. If you saw, they'd be like, oh, he sounds like a black person.
Right.
Because I don't hear white people talking like that. And if they do, they're like very radical activist people, but not people in real positions of power, because you stand to be, you know, your perceived race traitor or whatever the fuck it is. But you have to still have that position of like, yeah, that was bad. But also, remember who's in charge again.
Property.
And I'm going to let you know by saying that.
Remember, capitalism is about protecting capital and property, not about people. So don't break any windows.
That's well, the crazy thing is like he's sort of future trading any positioning he might have for other, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of a bargaining chip. Like, well, I could say this, but then I would lose this move I could make later for this other thing. Just the political aspect of sort of like,
Democrats. I think the political triangulation shit is just old now, because like the people that lose out are the ones that are actually at most risk, while you wait to find out what the most efficient position is rather than going full stop on the side of humanity.
Yeah. I just also I wish the Democrats would kind of learn, like, okay, clearly the Republicans have established that there's a precedent, maybe based on our sort of social media internet world we live in. And I was like, the half-life of scandal and what you've said, there'll be something else to replace it. You know what I mean?
Right.
He could have called this out, and somebody be like, oh my God, he's not one of us anymore. That's going to get swallowed up and would be elevated if it started the conversation. Like it just, it jumpstarted it a little bit.
You need one very white celebrity to do something like that and spark the outrage and be like, what's the problem? What did I say that's wrong? And I'm going to be the one to say, what's the fucking problem with you?
Yeah. The Democrats' triangulation, like, kind of reminds me, it seems like it's of a piece with the what we're talking about on the journalism side of this, like both sidesing it and like triangulation of, okay, so the Republican side is this, but the other side, the people who are being murdered on video while screaming, I can't breathe, are saying this. So we have to like
who tip the elections in our favor every fucking time.
Right. So we have to talk about both sides, and it just like, you know, that the documentary 13th, like the villain of that is like the Clinton administration, like the fucking, and it's all, well, I am a Democrat by name, and so therefore I have to do these Republican things to like confuse people into like both sides into supporting me. And it's just like, that shit is so far past. I mean, it should have never existed, but
what
it's
is,
like,
has Harris
doesn't have a,
had anything? Like, I haven't, because she was so sort of front and center on so many. I feel like anytime it was a statement from the president, it was also a statement from her. But I haven't heard anything, you know, reaction or otherwise from her.
Yeah, I mean, at that point,
I've been emailing her and stuff. It's not right now.
I mean, I think the thing was just sort of very milquetoast, kind of like, you know, this is going to happen. I think what this is, quote, folks will keep dying if the country does not address racial injustice. Okay, Vice President Harris. You got any fucking ideas?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Talk to old man Joe. But again, this is why, like, it's, that's why it's so disheartening, too, because no matter who's in the office, there's just these, everyone is still cut from the same cloth of only rocking the boat to certain degrees.
Yeah.
No one's going to flip the table, and the table flippers get fucking marginalized real quick.
Yeah.
That's just how the system, you know, that's how it protects itself. It's like, oh, this person has big table flipping energy. To the sides you go.
Either that or they're, now I feel like they kind of position as like, oh, that's just their brand. That's the bullshit that they're like putting out there that they're actually this person. Like there's a real point. I mean, it's always existed politics, but I feel now like there is a very poisonous sort of acknowledgement of like, everybody's got their kind of brand. Everybody's got their sort of like persona. You know, the fact that they come at AOC is just like, she's just like leaning hard into this like 20 something kind of liberal, you know, trying to grab her base in that way. And so it
you
doesn't.
Believe that?
Huh?
You think that?
I do.
That
I mean,
AOC is being performative with her progressivism.
I don't, but I've heard people say, you know, that there's an aware, there's that thing of like, there, you have to have an awareness of who you're speaking to, but you also have, I think there's the cynical version is that there's like, oh, it's a performative thing. Like who knows how genuine they are.
Yeah.
And once we start to call that out in each other, then you cannot, it's hard to sort of invest any kind of hope and faith in collective efforts, you know what I mean? If we're mainly with our leaders and stuff.
Well, I think that's why we have to ditch the notion that these people are going to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Or not put, like, yeah, not put the full onus of like, oh, they're here to save us. You know, it's like,
yeah. And I just even look at like the natural disasters that have occurred. I hear more stories anecdotally about people in the community just helping each other than FEMA coming through with some shit.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean? Like, especially like in Texas when things were completely fucked up, like people were like, fuck it, we're gonna help each other out. Yes, there is government assistance, but there's on some level, I think we realize police aren't gonna fucking protect us, and these politicians, all they do is just fucking do their fucking stand-up sets and on the Hill, and we're like, great, cool, let's go home.
I think you are describing libertarianism at work, Miles.
They're bigger into stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
Just every man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors will take care of neighbors. It's all good.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah,
certain neighbors will take care of certain neighbors.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And by take care of, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, shut the blinds and act like we're not home.
Right.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I approve this one.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and let's talk about the Johnson & Johnson, the Johnson & Johnson pause. The U.S. health officials recommended a pause in distributing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and, you know, Australia straight up canceled their entire order of Johnson & Johnson vaccines and have decided to abandon the goal of inoculating its entire adult population by year end. So there's been some pretty drastic responses. You know, it is a 1 in 7 million risk at this point in terms of like fatality. Wow. Which is about the same as being struck by a bolt of lightning. And for the at-risk group, women under 50, it's about the same odds as overdosing on Tylenol in a given year. Like, I had the thought today when I was getting, like, there's so many people lining up to get vaccinated that I was like, if there had been one person who died at this vaccine center, like, I'd still probably take it, because it's like, otherwise society stops functioning. Like, you need to just be willing to, I don't know. It seems like a huge unwillingness to think about things in terms of like math and numbers and logic.
I can't understand if it's a big pharma self-protection thing. Probably, or yeah. If it's a, we don't want a mass hysteria reaction to happen where people are like, oh, you can't get this one because it will cause a blood clot. And so it would just end up being people being like,
too late for that, my friend. Yep. Because the top post on Facebook about Johnson & Johnson. I'll read you. Wait, the
are we saying that as if it's a news website?
It is a news website.
I mean,
Fred.
I know that's
so the top five are I'll read you 2 through 5.
The top headline is
so 2 through 5 are CNN, ABC News, The New York Times, and Fox News are the top five responses. The number one in terms of interactions is a guy by the name of
Anomaly.
Anomaly, yes. He is a news analyst and hip-hop artist. The first O.
Go on.
The O in Anomaly is a zero. He thinks the pandemic is a cover for government control, and he's number one.
Yeah, I think he has an album with Pete Rock coming out. pretty soon. Pete Rock is also a news analyst and hip hop artist with similar takes.
Oh, does he really?
Oh, Pete Rock is so, for all the washed hip hop fans who remember Pete Rock and CL Smooth. I reminisce over him when he didn't have an Instagram account to send out his like ridiculous fake news shit. But really? This guy, this man who has no shirt on with the
long straight hair, beard, looking like a snack, I have to say. But like just looking like the least trustworthy human.
Dude, he looks like the least trustworthy person at a fucking music festival.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't buy drugs from this guy, but you will take his Johnson & Johnson analysis. So in that vein of wildly untrustworthy people reporting on Johnson & Johnson, Tuesday's episode of Tucker Carlson. Tucker claimed that the number of people who have had dangerous side effects from the shot is, quote, much higher, without pointing to, you know, like any sources or evidence of any kind, and wildly speculated that none of the vaccines work and they're simply not telling you that. And said there are reasons to believe the number of people who have suffered adverse side effects is much higher.
There are reasons because the reasons are fear.
Yeah, the reasons are that is good for my ratings. That's great reason. Yeah. Later speculated that the COVID-19 vaccine doesn't work, like I said. So the other right-wing personality who has weighed in, and I kind of love this, is that Donald Trump has weighed in on something they're calling Telegram. I don't know if that is a social media outlet, like a social media platform, or if he just sent a Telegram and that's
he's trying to get that to catch on.
You know,
released
Telegram,
on
right?
Telegram. Do I?
We're gonna have a.
Yeah, it's an app. It's okay. An app. You never message on Telegram?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I'm old as fuck.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah,
have you guys used Fax Machine? Fax Machine's a great app.
Yeah, Jack's always like, hey, get me another roll of facsimile paper. I'm like, a roll of it? Fuck. Remember that shit came on a roll? Anyway, hey, we're all here.
But he posted his theory that this is all like the government trying to help out Pfizer because who knows why. But like literally nobody covered it. It didn't like make a dent.
This is DT.
DT,
Downtown
yeah.
DT.
Downtown this? Donald T.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
I saw Ivanka. She got her shot and she posted on Instagram and like all her followers were like so pissed off.
Oh, really?
She was like, thank you, Nurse Torres. Everyone get your shot and let's be safe. And like, and it predictably is just stuff like, I have an immune system for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. I have an immune system for that.
Yeah.
Such a
strong. I do. Going back to like the, my mother passed away. She got, she had breast cancer and then she beat it. And then she was on some supportive medication that had the 0.5%, you know, the recipients might have complications and she had complications.
Right.
So we knew. We didn't know that that would happen, but that is a component of taking that medicine. And I'm not saying that as sort of like, so it's all good. I'm, you know, I'm fine with it because I'm not. But
right.
On this scale of what we're dealing with and on the scale of how small the risk is, I don't understand why they're just not saying percentage wise, here is the chance of this happening.
Right.
The decision is up to you whether you want to do it or not, as opposed to just like pull it all out. So right. I don't know if that sort of, and it feels like them saying pull it all out really emphasizes that to me, it communicates like, well, maybe we don't know what we're doing. Maybe this isn't working,
exactly.
You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It does sort of feel like it creates a greater, it seeds more doubt than it would otherwise.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a CEO, like sort of like, and it doesn't matter if these people die, but it's not, you know, it's kind of, I don't know.
It's not.
We have to project strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is once again, like one of the things with the market, like running a society, you can't have the market run a society because you have legal exposure. You have like all these different things and it seems, you know, like they don't know what they're doing.
And yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Even when we were talking before, like how obviously science isn't infallible because it's at the end of the day, they're human beings engaging in the method of, you know, research and analysis and things are learned and unlearned and discoveries are made and assumptions are tested. And so the fact that we still also just have this like weird relationship of like, it's either all right or it's all wrong. Mm-hmm. Also puts them in a weird spot where they're like, well, fuck, like if we say that, then they're not going to fucking believe that. Now we got this whole other information economy that's like undermining any little mistake too.
So unless it's to your benefit with someone being having a knee on their neck, then you will want that sort of like doubt space, that kind fallibility.
What was that? A Ford Explorer exhaust pipe? Mm-hmm. You never know.
I don't know. Yeah, those are actually healthy.
Yeah, but unfortunately, every little decision can be looked at in so many ways that it's either going to cause decision paralysis or just these like other just knee jerk responses like pull it and then fuck. Let's also not really explain much. And the thing that I'll just say is that we're pulling it as if it's like a bad batch of cookies that we can't sell anymore. It's I don't envy their position at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how many people who have gotten it, if it's sort of started a wave of like, oh my God, is it like, how long until it starts to happen? Like, is there a freak out happening around that? Because, you know, I know a bunch of people got the J&J and they're like, psyched. They don't have to go back a second time. I have to go back next week and I have to drive way far away because I scored one that was like in the boonies. And now, you know, but I literally have like, well, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. You know, that other version of it. But
yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, it's not perfect. Anything of this size where you're like injecting an entire population of people with something, probably like there's going to be like, it's shocking that there's not more like infections or, you know, like who knows, somebody,
but that's how
scared of needles
is.
Like passes out and like hits their head like that. Yeah. That's what's amazing is that like, it's been this trouble-free and that this has been the response to the one complication in the entire fucking country.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always like the people who make the argument that it is a government effort to control people.
They have no concept of fascism.
They have no concept of like, it's like, okay, so in a capitalist society, we're going to upend our economy and reduce our ability to be productive and reap the benefits of that so we can control people. And then once we've controlled them, we won't have anything to
do.
Right.
With to do.
Yeah. Or to lean into. I don't know. It's a very, you know.
All of this for a level of control that is far less powerful than Pokemon Go. Like gave the whoever was in charge of that. I think it was the Russians. but you know, we are now more than ever very easy to control and being controlled on a regular basis by the forces of the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. And suddenly everyone's an expert on coercion and control, by only thinking like, if it's something I don't like, it's the government takeover rather than like, it's kind of already taken over. Have you noticed? Like you probably only buy everything you own from four places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like it's you just have to kind of adjust your filter to actually see how little choice or freedom you have. But you have consumer choice, which has now been paraded around as freedom.
Right.
Like I sometimes wonder how much, because like I talk about how like I think a lot of white supremacists and people who, you know, do things that suggest that they believe in white supremacy, like there's a cognitive dissonance there where they know it's a lie and they're like, and that's like where some of the hate and then anger comes from, is like they know they're not superior. And like I do wonder on stuff like this where they're making up a conspiracy theory about control while living a life that is thoroughly controlled by just by a different thing that is like totally out of their control. Like if there's like a thing where there's a part of them that knows that, it's just not the conscious part. Because like when you look at models of consciousness, it's like, you know, 5% of our thoughts are things that we're aware of. And like the rest is just going going on below the surface and you're just like not aware. And it can be complicated. It's not just like that's the lizard part of the brain. It's like there are thinking forces that you're just like not aware of because like that you can only take in so much at a given time. Like I do wonder if like people are making up these conspiracy theories because it gives them like some sense of control while also at some level fully aware that like they lack that control. It's just not the government controlling them.
Dude, that's a lot of control right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the game Control on PlayStation.
Shout out to Janet. Miss Jackson, if you
yeah, Control. I was just thinking about that too. I don't know. I mean, I think it is. I think on a subconscious level, they know like what they're holding on to are just shreds of useless paper in the form of like their ideology. But it's this like, but the conspiracy thing, yeah, for sure. Like, if you can articulate the conspiracy, then on some level, you're smarter than what's happening, and you can at least explain your or perceived oppression or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And then that gives you, it's like, oh, well, you see, you guys don't even know. I know.
There was, I had heard in the past year, and I don't know the specific term for it, but it was, the takeaway was basically, it's almost sort of like conspiracy validation that there is a, a feedback loop, a sort of like positive reinforcement thing that happens. Like the more that you, that individual sort of pushes against the, what everyone else sees to be the truth, it reinforces the need for the truth that that person sees, the conspiracy theorist person sees. It's like a little, you know, it's like a little dopamine hit every single time. Oh, it's like, no, I know the truth. I know, because it gets in, and they sort of spoke it, it gets in a little bit of sort of like a martyrdom frame of mind. It gets a little bit into sort of like, it's definitely control. And it gets into sort of like a, it's a weird investment. It's like a sideways investment in hope. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's also, in a weird way, it's a sideways investment in hope. And it's also sort of like a really dark, comfortable place to be in.
Yeah.
Because as long as that threat is there, then that person will have this sort of like, the cause to fight for, mm-hmm. you know, the purpose.
And it's a construct there that offers them the most comfort for however they take the in the world. So
I mean, I do think the central lie that like everybody knows at some level they're telling themselves and like is aware of is that you are one of 7 billion people in the universe. Mm-hmm. And that is like a, if you stop and think about that, that is a wildly insignificant like feeling. And so I think conspiracy theories and like some of the things you guys are talking about, like that makes you the center of the universe.
Yeah, main
like
character,
that just like suddenly you are
I'm
the
gonna
one
save
who
you.
Understands it.
Yeah.
And like that's what The Matrix is really about. And like all these movies, like Star Wars, all the most popular movies are just like creating an environment where for a second you can imagine a reality where you are not one of 7 billion people. You are actually
the one,
the most, literally the one. And
yeah, our exceptionalism is.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's toxic. And now this feedback loop is just destroying. It's like weird. Now we're seeing like people have just completely mainlined that sort of way of thinking.
Right.
And it's allowed for no consideration of anyone except for yourself.
And we don't have the spiritual background in Western culture that kind of leans into that thing. It was like, it's much better to be a part of a whole, like to be, to see yourself as like there's a continuity to that. We just lean against this, like, no, I got to make my mark. I got to stand out. I got to sort of get what's mine.
When really
it just
like,
freezes you, you know,
there should be something liberating about knowing that there isn't all this pressure on you.
Yeah.
To be the one that you are. What separates you from an ant?
Right.
You know, you walk around and you probably killed a ton of ants without even fucking thinking about it, because that's just where shit is. And the way we pass away or our lives, it's the same. It's just random. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's freaky as shit. But on the other side of it, that can be very liberating if you can embrace this idea of that life is finite, that it's precious, that because it's precious, you have so many things to have gratitude for. But instead, you want to just be like, well, I'm John McClane. Now, right. What the fuck kind of, you want to live like that? Fuck that. Yeah. I want to be someone in the background. I don't have the pressure on them to fucking be whatever. Just be you.
That's good enough. Yeah. All of these police shootings that we're just, you know, hearing about every day, like, made me think about, like, whether that mentality of, like, wanting to be the protagonist in a story is, like the 16-year-old boy who was killed because he had an air pellet gun. And in Maryland, there seems to be so many opportunities for de-escalation, but there's just like this desire to, I feel like, just like make yourself like this, like that's kind of the most dramatic way that you can sort of enact your importance, like as opposed to other people, is by killing one of them.
I have a memory of my dad at a point when things were not good for him, and he had some problems. When there was a moment where, as those things were happening, he descended into this period of time when he would just watch Clint Eastwood movies by himself, and westerns, and he completely disappeared into this like fantasy fulfillment place in himself. Mm. And, you know, some things kind of came out sideways around that time. And, you know, hearing this again, it just reminds, there's so many people who have the opportunity, especially now, God, with the internet and stuff, to spoon feed yourself this kind of like narrative that will quiet whatever discomfort you're having inside yourself with yourself with this other thing. Yeah. And then the cool thing is you can take it out to the streets. Mm-hmm. And
act it out in real life.
And maybe somebody will film it, and then maybe you'll get posted, and even negative attention
makes you a more important one of 7 billion.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, you become a meme.
Hey,
yeah.
And that's how we live on, baby.
Look at me, Ma. I'm a racist meme.
I'm a meme. Look, I'm a meme. It's me, me.
Me, 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 me. Brian, as always, such a pleasure having you.
Oh,
where
so
can people find you and follow you?
You know, followers sounds so culty, but if my minions want to engage in the truth, I'm on Instagram at TheBrianHusky. I'm on Twitter, TheBrianHusky. Don't do much there. And then, of course, they can find myself and Charlie Sanders at Bald Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Also on iHeartMedia.
Yeah.
So, wonderful. Yeah. This week we got, can I say who we have this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. Because it's already fine. Ed Helms, who has hair.
What?
But that does not mean
he reveals that he has been wearing a toupee this whole time.
He takes his toupee off on the episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, Brian.
Yeah. He's Yeah.
Charlie just repping always hard, be like, kick that fucking toupee.
He's got a weird sideways hair loss pattern that's just, it's hard to wrap sideways.
Wait, so what's Ed Helms' relationship to the Baldiverse?
We wanted to sort of talk to someone who had a great head of hair their struggles with having hair and issues around that.
And you bring out the tiniest violin.
Totally. But we did find out that he's got a weird fatty lump on the back of his head, so he can never shave his head. Because he might reveal that he's got this, you know, this hidden twin growing out of the back of his head.
It's like the idea. It's like really loose, like a little water balloon. Like, right. Whoa, yeah. That thing's like a
little
goopy today.
Scrotum. Yeah.
I told him if he just masturbate more, because that's where all the sperm
goes. That's where all it goes.
But he's like, no, Dr. Catalog said no.
Yes. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
No.
I
know that really kills your segment, but
it doesn't. It's fine.
Oh, you know what?
It's perfectly
that's not
acceptable.
True. I'm 52, guys. I don't care. I'm old, and things that are gentle make me happy now. I've been following a bunch of nature accounts. So if you want, just looking at animals helps. Just right. Watching animals be cute helps.
For sure.
Do it if you get stressed out. That's what I've been doing. It's like, oh, look at that bunny. Oh, okay. My God.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
I like Twitter. I like Instagram, and I am there at Miles of Gray. And then the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, that's on Twitch. and also as a podcast. A tweet that I like, you know, I like two. First one's from Reductress. Just says, how to walk away from your parked car without locking it five times. Because
literally
I'm
no
a
clue
multiple locker.
Yeah.
I like to lock it up. I like to see the lights go off. If I don't see the lights go off, I will have to do it again.
Yeah, my car used to make a like beep sound when it was locked. And now it just is like once
it
you
locks
lock
and you're
it,
like, what the fuck? Did it lock?
Yeah. Where am I getting my
does it if
feedback?
You double click it, does it honk? That's what
no,
mine does.
It doesn't. It doesn't
oh,
honk.
Uh oh.
That's not good.
Is way too much respect
back?
For me.
No, you yeah. might have to be on the lookout.
Guys, I'll be right back.
Yeah. another one from Chauncey Sugar Sweets at C Sugar Sweets tweets. I like how Ben and Jerry's has all but had a flavor called Fuck Cops Fudge for 40 years, but conservatives just realized, like, today that it's owned by two libs, so they're shitting yeah. their pants.
Right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Core Y at SoldierBoy69. Nice. Tweeted, bartending. Him, can I get a pina colada? Me, yeah. Him, can you make it virgin? Me, starting to cry. Yes, I know how to make it. And then there's somebody tweeted a breaking news thing. A CDC panel wants time to assess the Johnson & Johnson vaccine's potential risk. And they tweeted, why is ACDC deciding this stuff? And I liked that. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Or link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you should check out. Miles, what is a song that people should be checking out today?
Okay, so I was listening to some really like obscure Japanese pop music from the 80s. And then on this album, The Platters, the vocal group, you know, from back in the day, showed up on this album singing in Japanese. And I could not believe it, but like, there's this whole vibe of 80s Japanese pop that is just like so comforting to me because it's so saccharine and like it looks like it's like the musical equivalent of like burying your head in the sand of like the world's ills, which right. I just love when you can nail that sound. But then on top of it, you got the Platters speaking in Japanese. It's called I Know Paradise by the Platters. And it's on this album called Tokyo 1980s Victor Edition of just like this era when Japanese artists were appropriating that sound like you wouldn't believe.
All right, well, we suggest you go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's gonna do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.